Hi, this is Mike from Power to the People. This is my liberal progressive point of view. September 11th, 2001 will be remembered as a tragic day. And I want to give thanks to the firefighters, police officers, and Port Authority in New York, New Jersey, and everyone who helped to save so many, and just cannot thank the first responders enough for what they did for so many, and want to give honor and tribute to the 9/11 widows, families, and victims of the worst terrorist attack on American soil not seen since Pearl Harbor.
On a bright summer morning, under a clear and cloudless sky, terror struck. To grasp the enormity of it is almost too much for the heart to bear. September 11th, 2001. It is a date that will be etched in history, engraved in stone, and in our memories. The day of the attack on America.
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it?
We just saw a plane circling the building.
Matt, I've never seen any. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane with a jet going immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into it, into the other tower coming from south to north.
I just saw a second plane come in from the south and hit the south tower halfway between the bottom and the top of the tower. It's got to be a terrorist attack. I can't tell you anything more than that. I saw the plane hit the building.
I was there and I saw the building collapse. We all started running.
Welcome, this is Mike, Power to the People. Visit progressivemike.com and yourfaceradio.net. In 3 days, no, two, I'm sorry, 2 days, I was supposed to do a podcast last night, so I apologize to my listeners for not doing one last night, so that's why I'm doing one now. Apologize for the microphone on during the play of the audio, and turn it off anyway. 2 days will be September 11th. To never forget the attacks on American soil. To never forget the sacrifice of so many first responders. To never forget all the police, New York City police, New York City firefighters, and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and, you know, police and firefighters that came to help the city of New York from across the country and the world. People from Canada and France and many European countries came to help us, and it'll never be forgotten. It'll never be forgotten when Canada sent troops to Afghanistan with American troops, and we'll never forget your sacrifice, even though I feel it was wrong, and we've been in Afghanistan for too long, and finding out that Afghanistan was never about September 11, 2001. I want to give honor and tribute to the fallen and the people who sacrificed their lives. I'll give you a backstory like I do every year to recount where I was. I was living in Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York, on St. Paul's Court. That morning, one of my mother's friends called from Florida and said, turn on the TV. My mother was talking to her friend on the phone, and her friend said, you know, my mom's name was Michelle. Michelle, turn on the TV. And she asked, why? Said, because your city, New York City is under attack. So I turn on the TV, turned it to CNN, and the next thing I see is one of the World Trade Center towers in smoke. And then, shortly afterwards, a second plane hit the other tower. And me and my mother were asking back and forth, is this for real? Is this Hollywood? Is this a script? And it's like, and I'm trying to process all this through my head. And I said to my mother, no. We're under an attack. And my mother sent me to the store to get a few things, food and otherwise. And as I'm walking through the neighborhood, I could see in the people's faces there was this, like, from their hearts, this empty look, if you know what I mean. This, I don't know, we were in the city of New York, we were in a state of shock. We were under the worst terrorist attack on American soil within the 48 contiguous states of the country. Yeah, and it's hard to explain. Like me, I grew up in Brooklyn. You know, in my teen years, I was living in Park Slope. In the area of Park Slope, Brooklyn, I could see the World Trade Center towers right from the park. The World Trade Center towers was, how can I say this? The beam of life that was New York City. It was seen because the World Trade Center towers were the tallest in the city. World Trade Center towers were seen as the foundation of the city. And just seeing those buildings all those years, and that one day, one tragic day, that those buildings get hit by airplanes, and then collapse, free fall collapse. That beam of life, that foundation fell apart. We New Yorkers, I still consider myself a New Yorker, even though I live in Texas. I still, the heart of New York will always be in my heart. That's just the main fact here. The heart of New York City will always be in my heart. I grew up in Brooklyn. My father grew up in Manhattan. My mother grew up in Hoboken, New Jersey. So, between me and my mother and father, we grew up in the East Coast. But both me and my sister grew up in Brooklyn. We grew up in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. You know, Avenue Ewing, where Avenue U is, and Nostrand Avenue, if anyone in New York knows, would know where that is. We just felt an empty feeling. We were in shock. We were, all of New Yorkers, were still trying to process what just happened. Then the next thing we know, all of our bridges and tunnels leading in and out of New York City were shut down. No traffic. After the bridges were shut down and the tunnels, no traffic was allowed along the bridges and in the tunnels. The city of New York was basically shut down to the entire country. Next thing we know, we're hearing, you know, of course, we're hearing the sirens from fire trucks from Brooklyn, and police cars from Brooklyn were going all the way to Manhattan. And it's like, during the towers were hit, during the entire 2-3 hours that this happened, we were just in a state of shock. It was, yeah, there was people still talking back and forth, you know, and all that. But you know how noisy New York City gets. It was near silence because of what was happening. And I will never forget some call me conspiracy theorist or tinfoil hat wearing nut, but up to this day, I will always believe, and for the rest of my life, that 9/11 was an inside job. That is not an insult to the 9/11 families and the widows. It is not. It is wanting to find out the truth, because up to this year, 15 years later, we still have not caught the perpetrators. And the reason why we will never catch the perpetrators, because they were connected to the U.S. government, along with Pentagon officials who were warned not to fly on September 11, 2001, is just too many coincidences to say that the government told the truth. See, 9/11 Truth, which I am a part of, is wanting to find out the truth. That's not insulting the 9/11 families and widows. That's not insulting the people who died. That's not insulting the first responders. That's wanting to find out the truth on what caused it and what happened and why the U.S. government did nothing about it. Why there were no military jets in the skies all while the World Trade Center towers were attacked. That is a legitimate question to ask, is why there were no military jets on clear blue skies on September 11, 2001. Why it took more than an hour for the first military F-16 jet to be launched in the air. And by the time the military jets were put up in the skies, the World Trade Center towers had already collapsed. That goes far beyond negligence of the United States government. They allowed the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks to occur in order to invade Middle Eastern countries. It is told by on page 51 of the Project for New American Century called for a new Pearl Harbor. And that is exactly what September 11th, 2001 was. That is why we never found who was responsible for attacking our country on American soil. It's because it's connected right to the American government and the Pentagon. The day before 9/11/01, the Pentagon could not account for $2,300,000,000,000. That's the truth. The truth is that a FEMA official admitted they were at the World Trade Center towers the day before the attacks. The federal government knew this was going to occur, and they did nothing to stop it. Even Bush himself admitted that he's seen the first plane hit the tower, even though we didn't see footage of the first plane hitting until they shown the second plane hitting. Bush admitted it. Bush admitted that there were explosives in the World Trade Center towers. And that's what makes me more mad about it, is our own government let it happen. It's the truth. Our own government let it happen. Our own government let Americans die and then use the 9/11 attacks in order to attack countries that were no threat. And our government still does the exact same thing now. Use 9/11 to attack countries that never attacked us. And I, and if someone was with me right now or calling me on the Skype phone, someone would ask me, oh, how is this connected to 9/11? I said, because of the government. Government's responsibility is to protect this nation the best they can. But when they get news that there's hijacked airliners, those F-16 jets should have been in the air within 5 minutes. Not an hour. Sorry, but there was no excuse for a military jet to not be in that airspace within 5 minutes of getting the news, hey, there's a hijacked airliner aiming for the World Trade Center towers in New York City. Would have there been casualties if that airliner was shot down? Of course. But there was a heck of a lot more casualties from the plane hitting the World Trade Center tower. That there were a lot more casualties because the U.S. government did nothing. That nearly 3,000 Americans died because the U.S. government did nothing. That they did not scramble those jets in the sky within 5 minutes of getting news, hey, there's a hijacked airliner at 8 o'clock in the morning. Look at the timeline, folks. It took them way too long to have the first jet in the sky. Negligence. They allowed this to happen. And then I would ask B-Max, Mike, how is this remembering the people of 9/11? Because it's demanding justice for what happened. It's demanding accountability in the government. It's saying that people should be held accountable in the government for allowing the worst terrorist attack in American soil to occur. And we will never get that answer because it was tied to the White House and Pentagon. It was tied to Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. It was connected to George Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell. Condoleezza Rice. It was all connected to them. Follow the money. And the money ends in Washington, D.C. The money points to the Pentagon. The money points to Congress. The money points to the White House. And it's not a conspiracy theory. Follow the money. Follow the money of the military-industrial complex. And it follows right to the United States of America and the Pentagon. 9/11 was the perfect opportunity to use that on the American people to have continual war without a solution to stop it. And every single time an anti-war protester says we must end the wars, the government then brings up 9/11. And they will continually use September 11, 2001 for infinite times in order to justify bombing countries that had nothing to do with attacking us. In fact, there was a speech on September 11th of 1991 by Bush's father, George Herbert Walker, calling for a new world order. I do not find it a coincidence that Bush's father called for a new world order. Then 10 years later, to the exact date, September 11, 2001 attacks happened under his son, George W. Bush. Here's the speech from September 11th, 1991.
Of its founders.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
To be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. And not until today did we get a full opportunity to work the entire site other than the spot of church and day to which we were deployed. But to be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. But to be honest with you, we arrived on late Monday night and went into action on Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning.
The Chief of Safety of the Fire Department of New York City told me he received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off. He tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place. And according to his theory, he thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building.
45 minutes into the taping that we were doing, there was an explosion. It was way up where the fire was, and the whole building at that point bellied out in flames, and everybody ran.
I was about five blocks away when I heard explosions, three thuds, and turned around to see the building we just got out of, antenna tip over and fall in on itself.
And then all of a sudden it started like it sounded like gunfire, you know, bang, 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 and then all of a sudden three big explosions.
When you figure this thing out,
you'll realize that the men who committed this atrocity in New York on September 11, 2001, mass murdered more people than the
I'm going to describe the design of planned attacks on buildings inside the U.S. and how operatives were directed to carry them out. That is valuable information for those of us who have the responsibility to protect the American people. He told us the operatives had been instructed to ensure that the explosives went off at a point that was high enough to prevent people trapped above from escaping. He gave us information that helped uncover Al-Qaeda cells' efforts to obtain biological weapons.
Planes hit in New York City, and thousands now are dead. It was Arab terrorists, this is what you said. Well, if that is the truth, then what have you got to hide? What were you doing on the day all those people died? Where the fuck were the fighter jets ordered by the FAA? What is your explanation for what you were heard to say when you told the Air Force to stand down, not to intercept? Did you plan to let it happen, or are you just inept? There's some distressing information, sir, which I think should be explained. Just which things have been lost, and just what has been gained. Like the thousands of put options bought days before the crash. If the money were collected, it'd make quite a pretty stash. And the only stocks they bought were American and United. Deutsche Bank knows the answer, but the names have not been cited. And is it just coincidence that this firm in the private sector was once run by Fuzzy Krongard, now CIA director? I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Estonia, or another Reichstag fire? There's something fishy in Virginia, and I want an explanation. Why did they get the contract? What is Britannia Aviation? A one-man operation, corporation with no history. He said he worked in Florida, but there he was a mystery. So is there a connection? I think it bears investigation. When the FAA found box cutters, does this cause you consternation? Hidden behind the seats in these Delta planes that had been fixed in Lynchburg with Britannia at the reins. I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Britannia, or another Reichstag fire? You said Bin Laden was your friend, but he isn't anymore. Now that he's not fighting Russia in your proxy war, who called the FBI off the Bin Laden family trail when so many times you had the chance to rewrite the sordid tale? Sudan in 96, the Taliban in 2001 offered to turn him over, and right then you could have won. But perhaps it is the case that you're avoiding victory, that to justify your exploits you must have an enemy. And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Lusitania, or another Reichstag fire? If you were not hiding from the truth, then you'd have a truth commission, not some masquerade kangaroo investigation, hiring Henry Kissinger, the ancient master of deceit, to make sure all stones are left unturned and the rules are kept complete. Now you carry out your plans, which you have had for decades, conquering the world with your troops and bombing raids. I see an evil regime led by an evil man on Pennsylvania Avenue, where this evil war began. And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Britannia, or another Reichstag fire?
That was Reichstag Fire by David Horowitz. This is Mike, Power to the People. It's a progressivemike.com. I still have to make that liner for you, Growback. Listen to Growback on Tell It Like It Is Radio. I still got to look it back up to make the liner and the times and days. Let's see here. What I played was the September 11th, 1991. Well, part of that speech that George Herbert Walker made in front of Congress talking about a new world order. 10 years later, to the exact day, his son, George W., is in office and the attacks happen. Sorry, but I don't find that... It doesn't matter how many people call me conspiracy theorists. I don't find that as a coincidence that Bush's father called for a new world order on September 11th, 1991, 10 years to the exact day, September 11th, 2001, his son is in office and we get attacked. And next thing we know is our government let it happen. In order to fulfill some wacky nut job project for New American Century horse manure. To attack countries that were never a threat. But you know what it is? You know what they're called? The war games. That's exactly what September 11, 2001 was. War games. And they had the media to play it perfectly, down to the line of Fox News and other channels hiring people to claim that they were in the World Trade Center towers or claim they were first responders and not. They played it perfectly. And they have brainwashed so many people in this country that we gotta attack this country for 9/11. We gotta attack that country for 9/11. And these people are not thinking through their heads that these are countries that didn't attack us. Syria, Somalia, Pakistan, Yemen, Libya, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan. Neither one of these countries attacked us. Neither of them attacked us. But I'm not going to go far too off here. There's many things, there's many questions. As I said earlier, I can never thank the first responders enough for the job you did. That you sacrificed your health and life to try to save as many as you could. The same cannot be said to the federal government. But when it comes to the first responders, when it comes to the firefighters and the Port Authority and the New York City Police Department and police and firefighters who came from Canada, who came from European countries, who came from South American countries to come to help us, you were more brave than our entire federal government combined. Firefighters and police, you were all more brave than Bush, Cheney, and the rest of them were. Bush, Cheney, and the rest of them hid away like spineless cowards. While this country was in danger, they went and hid. Yes, it's protocol for the president to be rushed for to a bunker if the country is under attack, but we find out through Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore, Bush was sitting in a kindergarten classroom after Secret Service tells him, "Hey, Mr. President, the country is under attack," and he gets a deer in headlights look like he knew. If he didn't know, he would have gotten up out of that seat, told the teacher in the classroom, "Miss, we have a national emergency here," and he would have rushed to Air Force One, get back to Washington, D.C., and do his job as president. But no, Bush was too busy, you know, having a book upside down and sitting in a classroom doing nothing to protect this country after being told, Mr. President, the country is under attack. Then you get the Vice President, Dick Cheney. He's sitting there getting reports, hey, there's a plane getting to getting closer to the Pentagon. Mr. Vice President, the plane is 50 miles to the Pentagon. Mr. Vice President, the plane is 40 miles, 30 miles, 20 miles, 10 miles. All that time that Dick Cheney was told that there was a plane heading directly to the Pentagon, he did not order any military jets to be put up in the skies to shoot that plane down before it hit the Pentagon. The Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, did not order not one single plane in the sky before that plane struck the Pentagon or before those planes struck the World Trade Center towers. That there was no response whatsoever by the federal government, and that it makes them negligent and criminal. That they allowed Americans to die for their own personal greedy reasons. And you know, get my water here. Excuse me. Yes, I am very passionate about this because innocent people died. And our government did nothing about it. And of course, I'll be called unpatriotic and un-American, but the fact is, it's un-American to believe anything the government said about the attacks. That the government set up some circus commission called the 9/11 Commission. They blame the firefighters. Yeah, they in the commission report, they blame the firefighters for not being prepared enough. How in the heck could the firefighters be prepared for the news? Hey, a plane just hit the World Trade Center towers and exploded. I am sure they don't have that in firefighter training. To prepare for a Boeing 757 to hit the World Trade Center Tower. Or any building for that matter. I'm sure in that whole firefighter training handbook, not one page says, be prepared. Well, maybe after 9/11, but before 9/11, I'm sure there was not one single page in firefighter training telling these people, oh, be prepared for a plane to hit the World Trade Center towers. Be prepared for an airplane to enter a building and explode. Nowhere in firefighter training. Now, I'm not a firefighter here, but I'm sure in firefighter training that they're not told, get ready for the building to collapse under you and over you. Firefighters didn't know what they were getting themselves into on September 11, 2001 when they got to those buildings. Firefighters didn't know that the buildings were going to collapse right on top of them. But hey, the government blamed the firefighters. The government said in the commission report that the firefighters were not, you know, ready enough. They were not alert enough. They were not basically, it's blaming the firefighters for what happened in 2001. Instead of the government blaming themselves for not taking accountability. For one, not having a military jet in the skies within 5 minutes of being told that there's a hijacked airliner. The fact that the matter is, the military gets more insider information than the FAA does. So when the FAA sent military, you know, news, hey, military, hey, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, there's hijacked airliners. There was no response whatsoever by Dick Cheney or Donald Rumsfeld that it took them 45 minutes to an hour to have the first military airplane in the sky. You know, another thing is World Trade Center Tower 7. Leaseholder Larry Silverstein admitted to pull Tower 7, and it happened at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The thing about it is, no planes hit Tower 7. You know the government commission report that claims that the planes caused the main two towers to collapse? Well, Towers 6 and 7 were not hit by airplanes, and Towers 6 and 7 collapsed in free fall. Another crappy report by the commission, that debris made Towers 1 and 2 fall. There was not enough debris to make 110-story buildings to fall to its footprint. I'm sorry, but whoever wrote that report in the commission report that debris was one of the causes of the World Trade Center towers to collapse was a moron. I'm sorry, but paper debris and debris from computers of a microchip was not the cause of 110-story buildings falling. What was the cause? Was super thermite. They discovered super thermite material dust at the World Trade Center towers. When they were going through all that rubble, whatever evidence the FBI and CIA and NSA and whatever forgot at the site, they ended up discovering super thermite material dust. Which means the World Trade Center towers were what? Professionally demolished, like Towers 6 and 7 were. If you look at videos of any other professional demolition and look at how the World Trade Center towers, along with Towers 6 and 7 falling, they fell in the same way. Straight down, free fall. Right to its footprint. Now, I will be asked, Mike, how would you know, oh, they planted explosives in the buildings? In the reports where electricity was shut off in the World Trade Center towers prior to 9/11, the fact that security guards in the lobby who patrolled the lobby at night said there were people coming into the building and claiming they're coming in for maintenance prior to 9/11. And they were demolished. In fact, here is Larry Silverstein admitting to say, pull Tower 7.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Pentagon, the day before 9/11. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld declared war, not on foreign terrorists.
The adversary is closer to home. It's the Pentagon bureaucracy.
He said money wasted by the military poses a serious threat.
In fact, it could be said that it's a matter of life and death.
Rumsfeld promised change, but the next day, the world changed. And in the rush to fund the war on terrorism, the war on waste seems to have been forgotten.
My 03 budget calls for more than $48 billion in new defense spending.
More money for the Pentagon when its own auditors admit the military cannot account for 25% of what it already spends.
According to some estimates, we cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
$2.3 trillion, with a T. That's $8,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. To understand how the Pentagon can lose track of trillions, consider the case of one military accountant who tried to find out what happened to a mere $300 million.
We know it's gone, but we don't know what they spent it on.
Jim Minnery, a former Marine turned whistleblower, is risking his job by speaking out for the first time about the millions he noticed were missing from one defense agency's balance sheets. Minnery tried to follow the money trail, even crisscrossing the country looking for records.
The director looked at me and he says, "Why do you care about this stuff?" It took me aback, you know. My supervisor asked me why I care about doing a good job. So.
He was reassigned and says officials then covered up the problem by just writing it off.
They got to cover it up. That's where the corruption comes in. They've got to cover up the fact that they can't do the job.
The Pentagon's inspector general partially substantiated several of Minnery's allegations, but could not prove officials tried to manipulate the financial statements. 20 years ago, Pentagon employee Franklin C. Spinney made headlines exposing what he calls the accounting games. He's still there, and although he does not speak for the Pentagon, he believes the problem has gotten worse.
Those numbers are pie in the sky. The books are cooked routinely, year after year after year.
Retired Vice Admiral Jack Shanahan commanded the Navy's Second Fleet the first time Donald Rumsfeld served as Defense Secretary.
With good financial oversight, we could find $48 billion in loose change in that building without having to hit the taxpayers.
In the 2.5 minutes since this report began, the Pentagon has spent nearly $2 million, and it may never know where 25% of those tax dollars went. In Los Angeles,
we have a sense if we imagine the kind of world we would face if the people who bombed the Vestal in Mosul, or the people who did the bombing in Spain, or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon. We have a sense if we imagine the kind of world we would face if the people who bombed the Vestal in Mosul, or the people who did the bombing in Spain, or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon.
Shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and the Pentagon. That's admitting right there from Donald Rumsfeld himself, from his own mouth, that Flight 93 was shot down. Or the audio I played earlier of George W. Bush admitting of explosives placed at a high enough point where people were trapped and could not escape. And that's exactly what happened. Through subliminal messaging, through subconscious messaging, that these officials admitted that it was an inside government job. But because the country was in too much shock, and they knew Americans were in too much shock, they knew the majority of the population was not going to question Donald Rumsfeld's statements at the time of why he said the plane shot down over Pennsylvania. Now remember, we all got media reports that one of the hijackers rushed into the cockpit of Flight 93 and nosedived it into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But according to Donald Rumsfeld, Flight 93 was shot down. According to George W. Bush, explosives were placed at a high enough point where people were trapped and couldn't escape. They admitted that it was an inside job. But as I said, the country was in too much shock for majority of the population to question those statements by Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush and other high-level officials. that they admitted on TV. They admitted in front of that microphone that it was an inside job. And people didn't question why. Anyway, this is, and I'm going to, this was a offshoot of X-Files called the Lone Gunman episode. It was aired on March 4th, 2001 on Fox. Just listen to it. Just listen, and you see what I'm talking about here.
What is Scenario 12D? We know it's a war game scenario, that it has to do with airline counterterrorism. Why is it important enough to kill for?
Because it's no longer a game.
But if some terrorist group wants to act out this scenario, why target you for assassination?
Depends on who your terrorists are.
The men who conceived of it in the first place. You're saying our government plans to commit a terrorist act against a domestic airline?
There you go. Indicting the entire government, as usual. It's a faction. A small faction.
For what possible gain?
The Cold War's over, John. But with no clear enemy to stockpile against, the arms market's flat. But bring down a fully loaded 727 into the middle of New York City, and you'll find a dozen tin pot dictators all over the world just clamoring to take responsibility and begging to be smart bombed.
I can't believe it. This is about increasing arms sales.
Mm-hmm.
When?
Tonight.
How are you going to stop them? Why didn't you tell the world this? Go to the press.
You think I'd still be drawing breath 30 minutes after I made that call? The press? Who's going to run this story?
We would.
This? This is Birdcage Liner. Wild-eyed crap right up there with Elvis is an alien and two-headed babies.
You obviously read it.
Don't be so damn naive.
That was an episode of The Lone Gunman, and on March the 4th, 2001, and you can find that on YouTube, that it basically telling the truth. The reason why the U.S. government had to allow 9/11 to happen is to increase military arms sales. Look at the money. That's all you gotta do, is look at the money. Where does the money point to? The U.S. Pentagon. The U.S. Congress. The U.S. Presidency. Look at how much money the Pentagon cannot account for since 1996. That the Pentagon cannot, that $8.5 trillion has disappeared since 1996. And then another $2.3 trillion since September 10th, 2001 to now. Or they cannot account now for $6.5 trillion from 2003 to 2016, and that they cannot account for the $4 to $7 trillion that was spent between Iraq and Afghanistan combined. So that is over $24 trillion wasted on the military industrial complex from 1996 to 20 years later. It's like the person said on the Lone Gunman episode. The Cold War is over. Arms sales are flat. But you get an airplane hitting, a Boeing plane hitting a building. And look at what has happened to the military industrial complex spending. It has been increased by a millionfold. Without accountability or oversight where that money is being spent. And then, whenever someone wants to become a whistleblower and investigate the fraud, the massive fraud in the Pentagon, they lose their job or possibly their life. because they want to do the right thing. They want to investigate why $2 trillion $300 billion is missing. They want to investigate why $500 million is missing from the books. But that's the world we live in, that you cannot hold your government accountable or else you lose your job or your life. Literally. You know, as I said, before I go, I give thanks to the firefighters and the police and the Port Authority in New York, New Jersey, and Canada, and European countries, and South American countries, and Asian countries, and China, and Russia, all these countries that offered us help, all these countries that did help. Canada sent troops to Afghanistan with American soldiers, along with Britain, along with Israel, along with many other nations who helped us out. Many nations helped us. And Bush and Cheney slapped them in the face after all the help they gave us. The first responders were more brave than Bush, Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld, and Powell combined. Bush and Cheney were too busy, you know, more worried about saving their lives instead of saving the lives of American citizens in this country. Firefighters and police officers were more brave than Bush and Cheney. This is Mike. Power to the people. Never, ever forget September 11, 2001, no matter how old you get. Never forget the complacency and the negligence by the United States government, and that it took 45 minutes to an hour for the first military jet to get up in the sky. That they allowed this to happen in order to further the global elitist agenda of war, war, war. And we will never get the answer to what really happened and who was behind it and who the perpetrators were, because it's tied right down to Congress, right down to the presidency, and right down to the Pentagon. All you have to do is follow the money. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see where the money goes down to. And who keeps funding the military-industrial complex? Without accountability or oversight, where the hell is $24.5 trillion in 20 years? That's what 9/11 Truth is about, demanding accountability of where the hell, excuse my language, where the heck $24.5 trillion went in 20 years, to demand accountability of why the U.S. government allowed it to happen. Or how they used it to invade countries that were no threat to us. That's all we demand of 9/11 Truth is the truth and justice to what happened. It's not anti-American or hating our country, because we demand that someone be held accountable for the worst attacks in American history. Doesn't make us hate our country. Because we demand someone be held accountable for killing nearly 3,000 Americans and then thousands of Americans more in some war on terrorism. The killing of our soldiers and civilians for nothing. No accountability. Of $24.5 trillion spent since 1996. And not one single Democrat or Republican is going to demand that accountability. For September 11, 2001, thank you to first responders. Thank you. And I hope that my words are an inspiration for anyone listening.